Let's pray again.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would anoint the words of this message. I pray that you would anoint ears to hear the truth you have for today. Anoint your speaker. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Byron said, "Whom the gods love, die young." Billy Joel took that and he sang, "Only the good die young." And he's probably loosely quoting Lord Byron, but he was singing to a girl named Virginia on whom he had had a crush in high school. And fortunately, she never gave in to his temptations because she was a good girl who believed what she had been told in her catechetical classes in Catholic school. And I just say, good for you, Virginia. You probably got somebody better than Billy Joel for sure. And it's good that you never settled for the piano player. The psalmist, we like our piano player. There's no comparison. Just realize how that sounded. Yeah. The psalmist said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." We Christians have funny thinking when it comes to death. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem with his followers cheering and waving palm fronds, it looked like he had the world by the tail. 4 days later, as he hung on the cross, that was all just a bitter memory for his followers who looked at him and thought out loud, 33 years old, and they killed him. What a waste. But it was a good death. It was a good death. It was a really bad day for everybody who was there, but it's called Good Friday because it was a good death on an awful cross. Jesus died in our place. Then he defeated death and he rose from the grave. It ensured that we could have a good death too. This is the beauty of the resurrection. So listen to this from Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verses 1 through 4, Paul's writing, and he says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is the word of God. And he was writing to people who were living. And yet he says, "You have died." We'll talk about that. Baptism is coming in there, and that's another sermon. A good death means being raised with Christ. Our old nature was nailed to the cross. So when we die to that old person, there's a magnetic pull into the new nature. The invitation is there then to walk in that new nature. And it means that we're different. We think differently, we act differently because we are different. The King James Version says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." We are peculiar in the eyes of the world. And back in 1611, the word peculiar didn't mean weird like it means today. We are peculiar in the eyes of the world. We're seen as weird. We're seen as strange. But As I said, in 1611, when the King James was first published, the word peculiar had a slightly different meaning than it does now. The translation that is more understandable is what I have in my ESV and a lot of your translations. It says something like, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. We're not possessed. We are possessed by God. We are a people for his own possession. Being raised with Christ means that we are no longer our own. We are holy. The word holy means to be set apart, to be reserved for his purposes. So we're not weird. We are different. Being raised with Christ doesn't mean withdrawing from the world. It doesn't mean driving a buggy. It doesn't mean making sure that your shirt is always buttoned all the way up to the top, or that your dress goes all the way to the ground. And I'm slamming some people, but there's, you know, there's a different way to be different. Being raised with Christ doesn't mean withdrawing from the world. It means reflecting the transformation of a good death. What a good death brings by looking up rather than looking around and worrying about what people are thinking and worrying about what God is thinking. William Barclay says, there will be this difference from now on. The Christian will view everything against the background of eternity and no longer live as if this world was all that mattered. This will give us a new set of values. Things which the world thought important, we will no longer worry about. Ambitions which dominated the world will be powerless to touch us. We will go on using the things of the world, but we will use them in a new way. We will, for instance, set giving above getting, serving above ruling, forgiving above avenging. The Christian standard values will be God's, not men. It's like this. When we are a new creation in Christ, we are a new person. Our minds are set on things above and much less wrapped up in the things of the earth. It's an amazing freedom. Paul tells us that a good death means being hidden with Christ. Now, this sounds strange until you look at the verses leading up to our passage at the end of Colossians 2. If you look back at the preceding verses there, Paul has been teaching about letting go of the things of earth that drag us down, and instead, we need to latch on to the things of God. He says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? The Colossians were latching on to the old law of the Old Testament and getting wrapped up in what they ate, how they dressed, what they did on what day. Why do we hang on to the old stuff? It's slavery. It's frustration. And it's completely unnecessary. But it's what we know, and it's where we've been comfortable. I've read 22 of the 24 books in the delightful number one ladies detective agency series. Barb Stanfield got me into them. And I know that there's 24 of them because as I thought about this illustration that I'm going to use, I thought, It's been a while since I've seen a new one come out, and I found out that there's two more that I have to find. Okay, so I've read 22 of them. The first of those in that book series came out in 1998. And in the ensuing 26 years, the main character, her name is Precious Ramotswe, but in Botswana, there's a title like Mrs. Her name is Ma Ramotswe, and she's this intrepid lady detective who lives in Habaroni, which is the capital of Botswana in southern Africa. And through this entire series, since 1998, well, remember, I haven't read the last two books, but in the 22 books I've read, she has had the same tiny white van. She always refers to it as her tiny white van, which is probably more what we would call a pickup. She refuses to give it up. Year after year and novel after novel sees her long-suffering and dedicated husband, Mr. J.L.B. Mattacone, the owner of Cloak Lane Road Speedy Motors and a miracle worker mechanic. He's doing everything to keep the little truck on the road. And time after time, he's found much more suitable vehicles. He's even tried to sneak a vehicle into the parking lot and steal hers away. And year after year, novel after novel, she's refused to give up her tiny white van. In reality, it should have been junked years ago, but it's what you can do in novels, okay? And it survived every kind of misadventure. My point, though, is that Ma Ramotswe could be in a much better and a much more reliable car, but she stays in what she knows rather than what's best. It probably makes for some good writing, too, but it also is what makes her feel comfortable. Paul celebrates the freedom of being hidden in Christ. We just need to let go of what we think and what we think we know best. And we need to set our hearts and minds on the one who knows what is best for us. And this is what happens when Christ is our life. Our good death ensures that we have life in Christ. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In Galatians, he wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And then here in Colossians, he says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." As Paul saw it, to the Christ follower, Christ is the most important thing in life because, in fact, he is life. Christ, who is our life, he's the only way. Jesus said it himself as he was finishing up the Last Supper with his disciples. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I saw an interview with Keith Green from a long time ago. It would have been in the late 70s, because he still had his fro. And he passed away in, 82, I think, 1982, in a plane crash. But he was being interviewed, and he said that as he had come through, grown up, he noticed there was an emptiness in him, and he was looking into all these religions: Muslims, Buddhism, Hinduism, and they all referred to Jesus They all said Jesus was a good guy. We try to be like Jesus. Jesus was a good prophet in Islam. And he says, they all referred to Jesus, and then he looked at Jesus, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so he settled for Jesus, the Jesus that we have right here. He's the only way. Jesus is our life, and through him is the only way to life eternal. And in this life, as we die to the old way of life, he makes life worth living until we can experience eternal life. So ponder this truth this week. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior, if Savior lives. Would you sing that? I think it's up there. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Sorry, I started that high. I was just aiming for heaven. He went to the cross to die for us. He was laid in a grave that couldn't hold him. He rose again and defeated death. About a week before that first Easter, maybe 2 weeks, Jesus told a grieving Martha, who had lost her brother Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So the best is yet to come. So hang on to that promise. Seek the things that are above, because he's our life. Let's sing it again. Because, start me out right. Ron's, he wants to get to the piano. Yeah.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know,
and that's what I mean by a good death. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming for us, living for us, teaching us, dying for us, and then rising for us so that we can rise too. We bless your name. Amen.
As Jesus entered in Jerusalem, they took palm branches and they laid them down at his feet for the donkey to walk on. And they waved them in the air and said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So as we sing our closing song today, which simply means in Hebrew, peace be with you until we meet again. The kids are going to very excitedly hand out palm branches to you. And we would invite you to wave them and then to please take them home with you when you're done.
Yeah.
Ready? Everyone grab a handful. I'll make sure everyone gets one.
Thank you.
Shalom Havarim, Shalom Havarim, Shalom, Shalom. Till we meet again, till we meet again. Shalom, Shalom. Shalom Havarim, Shalom Havarim, Shalom, Shalom. Till we meet again, till we meet again. Shalom, Shalom. Shalom Havarim, Shalom Havarim, Shalom, Shalom. Till we meet again, till we meet again. Shalom, Shalom. Shalom Havarim, Shalom Havarim, Shalom, Shalom. Till we meet again, till we meet again. Shalom, Shalom. Shalom, Shalom. Shalom, Shalom.
They know how to put their arms around one another and do the Israeli dance, and it's wonderful. And I say shalom.